Morning. It's nice to see all of you. So the lesson I'm going to give today, I do hope you'll find interesting. It's probably on a topic you might have never heard before. I kind of hope so. Sometimes it's hard to find a topic everyone hasn't heard of before. But I'll be speaking on David's mighty men. And actually, initially, me and Paul spoke at the Pleasant Hill meeting last year. And he's like, I'm not sure I've ever heard a lesson on that. Maybe you can come speak sometime. And we'd been in contact, but as you can realize, I'm not Bill Norman. He's sick, and so Randy Tettmeyer was in contact with Paul, and they sequestered me to teach you. I'm sorry. There was no one else left at the bottom of the barrel. But today, I will be speaking on David's mighty men, and we'll spend a lot of time specifically on one of David's mighty men. There's a lot of information on him. And I became intrigued by this topic personally 4 or 5 years ago, actually. And every time I tell this, that space of time gets longer. But 4 or 5 years ago, I became interested and I studied the subject. Because I was wondering, we never talk about these guys. They seem kind of cool. And they are kind of cool. And now that I have the opportunity to show you, I hope that you also will find it interesting. And the man we will be primarily looking at is Abishai, the son of Zerah. And you might recognize that name, son of Zerah. He's the brother of Joab. And the brother of Asahel. His name's the hardest to pronounce of the three. But this is the middle brother of the three sons of Zerah. And he was one of David's mighty men, and a very important one, as hopefully we'll be able to see. And this lesson will also lend itself to lessons in our own lives, and comparatively speaking to the loyalty and service we see these men give David. The first time we ever see this man, Abishai, in the scriptures is in 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 6 through 9. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zerah, brother of Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul in the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with you. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay all around him. Then Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, please let me strike him at once with the spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. And David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? This is the first mention we have of Abishai in the Bible. And we can see in this passage that he's zealous. And he's zealous specifically in his service to David. When David needed someone to go with him down into the camp, which was a dangerous and possibly foolhardy expedition, immediately this man Abishai raises his hand and says, I will go. I will go with you down into the camp of Saul. And when they get there and they find Saul sleeping completely helpless, Abishai says, God has delivered your enemy. Let me strike him and you'll be free. You can rule. This is for good. But David cautions him. And this is something we'll see a little bit with Abishai. He can be overzealous in his service for David. And David warns Abishai in this passage, no, who can strike the Lord's anointed and still be guiltless? Service to God comes before your service to me. So Abishai has priorities here. He was very zealous in his service to David. But David points out to him, there's a little bit of a higher playing here that we need to pay attention to in our service. But what we see here with Abishai is he was loyal. He obeys David's instruction. He could have been like, well, you're not thinking through this. I'm going to do it anyway. But he doesn't. He remains loyal and respects David's wishes. And this is something we see across David's mighty men. They were loyal in their obedience to David's instructions. But Abishai had a lot of good attributes, but he also had a failure in his life, a failure that we have accounted. He was human. I'm sure he had more than this. But he was sometimes ruled by his emotions in that zealousness. And his rashness in a particular decision that we're going to look at brought sorrow on himself. And I'm going to quickly read to you about a situation in which Abishai did not keep David's wishes. He acted from emotion, he acted rashly, and it was a mistake. And I'll begin reading in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18, and I'll read to 31. Now the three sons of Zerah were there, Joab and Abishai and Asahel. And Asahel was fleet of foot and as wild as a wild gazelle. So Asahel pursued Abner, and in going he did not turn to the right hand or to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Are you Asahel?" He answered, "I am." And Abner said to him, "Turn aside to your right hand or to your left, and lay hold on one of the young men and take his armor for yourself." But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. So Abner said again to Asahel, "Turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I face your brother Joab?" However, he refused to turn aside. Therefore, Abner struck him in the stomach with the blunt end of the spear, so that the spear came out his back. And he fell down there and died on the spot. So it was that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still. Joab and Abishai also pursued Abner, and the sun was going down when they came to the hill of Amah, which is before Gia, by the road to the wilderness of Gibeon. The children of Benjamin gathered together behind Abner and became a unit, and took their stand on top of a hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know that it will be bitter in the latter end? How long will it be then, until you tell the people to return from pursuing their brethren?" And Joab said, "As God lives, unless you had spoken, surely then by morning all the people would have given up pursuing their brethren." So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and did not pursue Israel any more. Nor did they fight any more. Then Abner and his men went on all that night through the plain, crossed over the Jordan, and went through all Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. So Joab returned from pursuing Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there were missing of David's servants 19 men and Asahel. But the servants of David had struck down of Benjamin and Abner's men 360 men who died. To conclude this story, I'm going to read verses 21 and 30 from the next chapter. "Then Abner said to David, 'I will arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, and that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may reign over all that your heart desires.' So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace." And then verse 30. "So Joab and Abishai his brother killed Abner, because he had killed their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle." So fill in some of the blanks there. As time progressed, Abner turned aside from supporting the son of Saul and offered his services to David to unify the country under David's rule. And at the time that this took place, Joab was not with David and his men. And when he returns, he hears of this alliance that was made between Abner and David, and the fire is burning bright over the loss of his own brother at Abner's hand. And Joab, and at this passage it says Abishai also, though usually it's mostly attributed to Joab, came out and they met Abner, specifically Joab, met Abner in the open plain on the road, and he struck Abner in the stomach with his sword and he killed him. And he killed the man who had offered his services to David, whom David had an alliance with. And David pronounces that the blood of Abner would be on Joab and his descendants for eternity. And Joab is eventually killed by Solomon in part for this murder of Abner. It was wrong to kill Abner. And Abishai had a hand in this, it would seem, in taking vengeance for the death of his brother. His passion ran a little too high, and he did not honor the wishes of David. But to be perfectly frank, I think many of us could fall into that same pitfall of something hitting close to home, something very personal. And we act not as we should in accordance with Christ's will, but instead are ruled by our emotions. And we make the wrong decision. And it would seem Abishai did that here. But in looking at the actual battle, the actual account, these men who fought Abner and the sons of Benjamin, they were David's mighty men. We find that earlier in the chapter. These were David's army, his best of the best. And, I mean, did you pay attention? Well, I'll point out again the total of those who died. Of David's men, 19 plus Asahel, for a total of 20 men died of David's. Yet they struck down 360 men of Abner and the sons of Benjamin who died. So it would seem that they wounded more. They were not the superior force, but they did have the superior skill. They had God on their side. They were fighting for the man who was supposed to be ruling the kingdom. And they fought with zeal, they fought with skill, and they fought with passion. And they routed Abner and his forces. They were a very skilled group of warriors. And David was a very skilled warrior himself. And their service to David, they would give willingly their life in his service, as we'll see a little bit later. But don't worry, Abishai is redeemed. He does fail. He does get ruled by his emotions. And he did make a bad decision. A little bit like Peter. I mean, Peter said, I'll never fail you. And then he did. But he came back to be restored to the service of Christ. Abishai is restored to the service of David. And after David unifies the kingdom, we see Abishai established as a mighty man of David. And that is in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and 18. And also there's another listing of David's mighty men in 1 Chronicles 11, 20 through 21. And in these passages, we find that Abishai was a leader among the mighty men. He was not just a mighty man of David, but a leader in amongst those men. He was in a special group of three, and we read of this group of three, well, we'll read of his group of three in a minute, but he was a group in a second group of three. There were three mighty men who had more honor and more achievements than Abishai and his group of three, and we read of this other group of three of mighty men and their great, remarkable deeds, and we're going to be reading it from the Chronicles account. 1 Chronicles 11, 10 through 21. Now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, with all Israel to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men who David had. Jashobeam, the son of Hakimanite, chief of the captains, he had lifted up his spear against 300 killed by him at one time. This man Jashobeam killed 300 men in one fight, by himself. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ohite, who was one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Pisidium. Now, there the Philistines were gathered for battle, and there was a piece of ground full of barley, and the people fled from the Philistines. But they stationed themselves in the middle of that field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. It would seem that these three mighty men, while everyone else was running, they stood firm in a field of barley and fought against the overwhelming number of Philistines and turned the tide of the battle by themselves. So the Lord brought about a great victory through the hands of these three men. Now, three of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David, into the cave of Adullam. It would seem that this is the same three men. And the army of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem, that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, far be it from me, O my God, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who have put their lives in jeopardy? For at the risk of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Camp of Philistines was encamped around David in a stronghold. Their first line of defense, their second line of defense, and on top of that, they had a garrison in Bethlehem. David said with passion, it would seem with longing, that he wished for a drink from a well. It was a simple drink from a well of Bethlehem. It's not that big of a deal. David wasn't going to die without it. But these three men, and their loyalty to David, armed themselves, broke through the line of Philistines, went into the city, the garrison of Bethlehem, drew from the well, and fought their way back to bring David a simple cup of water. That's how deep their passion lay. Also, it shows their skill and their ability as fighters to be able to even do this feat. And David realized after he had said it, after they had acted, exactly what he had asked them to do. Their loyalty ran so deep that they had done this, and he almost regretted it, it would seem. He poured it out as an offering to the Lord instead of drinking it, realizing he had risked these men's blood, this men's blood, for this drink of water. But they were willing. They were willing to give everything they had to fulfill the tiniest need of David. And this draws a very interesting parallel to our service to Christ. Are we willing to go to any length to fulfill the tiniest instruction and the tiniest wish of Christ? Does our honor, does our passion, does our loyalty run as deep as these men's exhibited? These were the chief mighty men of the mighty men of David, but there's another three listed in starting in verse 21 there in Chronicles chapter 11, Abishai, the brother of Joab, was chief of another three. He had lifted up his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Of the three, he was more honored than the other two men. Therefore, he became their captain. However, he did not attain to the first three. In other words, Abishai's achievements were not as great as those first three's men's were. But he also raised his spear up, fought against 300 men, and won the battle, winning a name, winning a place as the chief captain of David's mighty men. This is also draws another interesting parallel. We see that in amongst David's mighty men, the men who were closest to him on this planet, there was people who were slightly closer. People who had they were in his inner circle, which draws a parallel to what we see in Jesus. Jesus had 12 apostles, 70 people he sent out, disciples of great number. Yet, three disciples were closer to him than the rest. Three were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Three he took in prayer. Three that he spoke to more than any, if you look up how often he spoke to direct apostles, you will find him speak to his inner circle of Peter, James, and John more than any of the other apostles. There were three that he was closer to. And at just as this, we see that parallel with the life of David. There was three, technically two groups of three, that he was closer to than all the rest, that were a little bit more special, which draws that parallel between the life of David and the life of Jesus, and a parallel between their followers. But let's get back to Abishai and some of the other things he did for David, because his works were quite numerous and very spectacular. And then here's another place in which we see Abishai's zealousness for his service to David. And this is when David's fleeing Jerusalem, because Absalom has taken over the city. He's coming, and David had to flee. And that's this point in this story. And there's this Benjamite named Shimei, and he hurls insults at David. And we read of this in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 9 through 11. Then Abishai, the son of Zerah, said to the king, love his wording here, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please, let me go over there and take off his head. Wow. He's not wrong, but that's kind of passionate language. Not exactly sure what that equates to as modern profanity, but I'm pretty sure what he said here was quite something. But once again, we see David counsel him. But the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zerah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? And David said to Abishai and all his servants, see how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. Shimei is insulting David, and Abishai wants to go lop off his head because he shouldn't be doing it. And Abishai is right. Shimei shouldn't be hurling insults at David. But David points out the fact, this is because of David's own sin. David's sin with Bathsheba, part of that was that there would be fighting in amongst David's house for all of his days. And this is the manifestation of that punishment. Absalom is raising a coup and David is being ousted. And so if his own son could do it, why can't a Benjamite? But it's not quite the end of the story of Shimei. We see three chapters later, this Benjamite come to plead mercy with David. And again, we see Abishai read strongly in 2 Samuel 19, 18 through 23. But once again, I'll fill in the blanks there, set the stage. Absalom raises together his army, and David and his men, who it would seem were probably outnumbered, they are in this city, and Absalom's over here, and they meet on the plains, and a great battle takes place in which David's men defeats Absalom. And at the conclusion of the death of Absalom, the people who sided with Absalom realize, whoops, that wasn't the greatest plan on the planet. And they start to come to David to beg for mercy, and the first person we see is this Benjamite, Shimei. And this is, as I said, 2 Samuel 19, 18 through 23. Then a ferry boat went across to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. Now Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. Then he said to the king, do not let my lord impute iniquity to me, or remember what wrong your servant did on the day that my lord the king left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Therefore, here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai, the son of Zerah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zerah, that you should be adversaries to me today? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For do I not know that today I am king over Israel? Therefore the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king swore it to him. To be perfectly fair to Abishai, what he says here is, shall not he be put to death for cursing the anointed? Is that exactly not the same reason he couldn't kill Saul? Because it was God's anointed? And we have to keep in mind that David greatly lamented the death of his son, to such a point that Joab rebukes him, saying, you've turned this victory into sorrow. He was sorrowful. The death toll took a toll on David's heart. And what he says there is, should anyone else die today? Cannot the bloodshed end? By the way, before he dies, David instructs Solomon to kill Shimei, the son of Gera. And he is put to death for cursing David. He does get his just deserts eventually. Abishai doesn't get to do it, but he does pay for his wrongdoing on David. Justice is served, and God's anointed is upheld. I think one thing we can say about Abishai is he seems really prone to violence when it comes to unjust treatment of his leader. He beloved David. He loved him with all of his being, and he served him with all of his being. Yet, in this case, as a couple others, it seems to get him in trouble. You know, he's just trying to do what he thinks is right, and David's like, no, don't do that. He gets a bit of a tongue lashing, because maybe he was a little overzealous in his pursuit of violence. And once again, I have to ask, does this sound familiar? Is there anyone else we ever hear of who loves their leader to a great result and jumps to violence when it comes time to defend them? Well, yeah, Peter in the garden. His reaction when the mob comes, he pulls out a sword and lops a guy's ear off. I don't think he was aiming for the ear. Abishai probably would have got the head, but it served the purpose, and he's rebuked. He who lives by the sword will die by the sword. This is for a purpose, and Jesus heals the ear. There's a lot of parallels between Abishai and Peter and their passionate service to the one that they loved. And both of them served with everything that they had. And Abishai, we also have accounts of his duty in battle, and there's several of these. He was a leader in battle. And for the sake of time, we'll just look at a verse of each of these accounts that tells his part in these battles. And the first is 2 Samuel 10:10. And the rest of the people he put under the command of Abishai his brother, that he might set them in battle array against the people of Ammon. So at this point, the armies of the Syrians and the armies of the Ammonites are attacking Israel. They have them surrounded. And Abishai was put over the army that fought against Ammon. And Joab fights against the Syrians, and a great battle is won by the children of Israel over both of those armies. Well, that's pretty cool. And then the 2 Samuel 18:2. Then David sent out one-third of the people under the hand of Joab, one-third under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zerah, Joab's brother, and one-third under the hand of Idiah, the Gittite. And the king said to the people, I also surely will go out myself. So at this point, it's the battle with Absalom. And when fighting David and his kingdom, when David's setting up the armies, he sends out one-third Joab, one-third Abishai, one-third Ittai. Abishai is chosen to lead one-third of the army by David himself. He clearly had a lot of trust in Abishai. And once again, there's a great victory for Israel over Absalom's army. And just chapter over, we have the next uprising against David's throne in 2 Samuel 26. And David said to Abishai, now Sheba, the son of Biduchi, will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your Lord's servants and pursue him, lest he find for himself fortified cities and escape us. When this Sheba is causing issues for David's kingdom, it is to Abishai that David turns to take care of it. And though it's a little bit complicated, it's not this straightforward. This was also a victory. Sheba is put down and David's throne is restored. There's a bit more weaving and turning to get to that conclusion. But that is the final conclusion. David once again rules over all of Israel. And we have one more major accounting of this man, Abishai, the son of Zerah. And that's in 2 Samuel 21:15 through 17. When the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines. And David grew faint. Then Ishbanab, who was one of the sons of the giants, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zerah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. In this last passage, we see Abishai save David's life. They go to battle, and there's a giant. Well, he might have been related to Goliath in some way. We don't actually know, but he was a Philistine, and he was a giant, and there's a bit of history between David and giants. And this guy thinks, hey, I can kill David. And at this point, it was later in David's life. He more than likely was older. He's like, I can kill David and I'm going to do this. And David's tired. It doesn't seem that David can save himself. Yet to his aid comes Abishai, the son of Zerah, who gets in a fight with a giant and he wins. He wins. And this is part of an accounting of five giants who David's mighty men vanquished, by the way. And it's interesting that David was the first one to kill the giant, and he did it with a rock. He did it with a sling. And At that time, people were scared of giants. They didn't want to fight them. But David showed that we can beat the giants because God is on our hand. And we see five among them here. David's mighty men didn't run from a fight with a giant. And they didn't use a sling either. They used common warfare weapons. Because of the example David set, they knew that they could be victorious. And they fought. And he killed this giant and saved David's life. Abishai was always loyal to David. Though sometimes impulsive, Abishai is loyal, protective, valiant, violent, and loving. He served David through thick and thin, a true picture of how we want to serve Christ. We should not be willing to let others attack him or tear him down, but always be willing to defend his honor, to defend his truth. We should always strive to be obedient to his commands. No matter how much we want to do something else, it's our duty to serve Christ even in the littlest of details. If you want to be able to love and serve like someone like this, you have the opportunity to do so, to join Jesus' special group of Christians, of followers, of servants, through the waters of baptism. If you have the need, do you let it be known as we stand and sing the closing number.